Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. This is America's Great Loop Cruisers weekly blog radio show. As usual, I'm here, Janice Cromer, the director, and Steve is with us. I would also like to mention and thank our Admiral sponsors, Curtis Stokes and Associates, Dog River Marina and Boat Works, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazine, and Skipper Bob Publications. If there's any non-members out there listening to the show, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, which of course is the Atlantic and Gulf Intracoastal Waterways, the Great Lakes, the Canadian Heritage Canals, and the inland rivers of America's heartland. AGLCA, as we're known, is an organization of people who share a sense of adventure and curiosity. Our association's primary purpose is to share information and enhance the overall experience for all those learning about, dreaming of, exploring, and safely cruising America's Great Loop. Our website is www.greatloop.org. We'd love for you to visit and become a member. There's also just a plethora of free information about the loop out there, so please visit and get familiar with this great adventure. I'm really happy to welcome back this week our guest host, Brad Pickle. Brad is the executive director of the Atlantic Intracoastal Waterway Association. Brad will talk about the status of this waterway, which is integral to America's Great Loop, and hopefully give us a recap of their annual conference, which was last week. Brad, welcome, and thanks for being back.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be back on the show.
No problem at all. We love to talk with you. What's going on with the Intracoastal this year? Is there anything new and different that we need to know about?
Well, the good news is, although there's not funding for all 1,100 miles that we focus on, because our organization, the Atlantic Intercoastal Waterway Association, really focuses on the section leading from around Norfolk in Virginia down into Miami. Although the Great Loop, I know, consists of a lot more of the waterway going more toward the northeast, we really focus on about 1,100 miles. And we work very diligently to try to get federal funding or help our communities and the Corps of Engineers secure federal funding. And this year, there is definitely some work going on the waterway, and that's always a good sign when the dredges are out moving some of the material, the dredge material out and placing it either on beaches or in other disposal areas to try to open up the waterway for all of our users. And we're happy to report that some of that work is going on.
Fantastic. Where is most of the work going on?
We've got two main project areas. The first is the Wilmington District. Us in the industry always think of it as the Corps of Engineers District that we're working with. It's kind of funny. But it does really consist of the entire North Carolina coast. What they're doing is they were able to secure some funding to go and dredge out the inlet areas. Most of the trouble spots along the intercoastal are going to be where those shallow draft inlets, the smaller inlets are. And what happens is those inlets just over time naturally fill in. And they were able to get some money this year to clean out four of the inlets. And so that's pretty much all of the inlet work will have been done between last year and this year. And we think that's really, really good news as our loopers start making that southern migration, which I know is well underway.
Yes. I know South Carolina has some problems too, but that's been a little bit better in the past few years.
South Carolina continues to be a challenging area for us, South Carolina and Georgia. Georgia always has our worst spot, unfortunately, it seems like, with shoaling issues, because most of that waterway was cut. It wasn't natural water bodies. They were all man-made. So you have those beautiful marsh areas that we all love and enjoy to cruise through. But on the other hand, they silt in pretty regularly. But South Carolina's had some challenges. We're working with the local Charleston district in that area, but we're also working with our elected officials. And it's nice to see the awareness be raised on the state level, and we were able to do that this year. We had one of the state senators on our behalf and also on behalf of the South Carolina Marine Association wrote a letter to the congressional delegation asking for more awareness and more help to be raised in securing federal funding to maintain an area around the Ashapu-Coosaw cutoff, which some of your members may know about, and then also the area behind Breach Inlet. Breach Inlet is a little bit north in the Isle of Palms area, a little bit north of Charleston, but we were able to work with our state-level senators to try to raise awareness for those areas, and we were really happy to gain his support this year.
Is the breach inlet still as problem? I mean, I've heard that it's a really, really dangerous area. Is that still the case?
Well, the limiting water depth is about 5.5 feet, five and a half feet, depending on where you are within the channel. So for a lot of vessels, no, it wouldn't be as big of a deal. And that's at low tide. But there are definitely some vessels that may have challenges with that, especially some of our commercial vessels. But the bigger areas and the bigger flash points for us now are really down in Georgia, and it's continuing to be Little Mud Creek and a lot of the Hell's Gate and the famous ones that everybody is aware of. But we're working diligently with our state partners in that area to try to also raise awareness. And that's been a big focus of our association, both in our annual conference and just our overall efforts, is to raise state-level awareness of not only the trouble spots along the waterway, but the true value, because this is an incredible national resource. You know, it's one of the nation's longest marine highways.
The loopers just absolutely love the Intracoastal. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful area. I know this is a little bit backwards, but could you give us a little bit of background on the development of the Intracoastal?
It was depending on who you ask and what date we want to use, it's somewhere between 75 and 95 years old. What happens with it, it's funny, when you look at the congressional language, when it was authorized, four constructions, one date, and then we have some of our partners, especially on the local governments, that whenever the segment was completed in their state, they like to call that the birthday. And then you wonder about, well, okay, what about when we connected in? The Atlantic Intercoastal Waterway actually ends, or the federally declared project ends around St. John's River, and then that connects into what we call the Intracoastal Waterway. We think of it, the AIWA thinks it is one system, but that's two totally separate projects on the federal level. So you have two different birth dates for that segment. So it's kind of funny. We laugh about it. But one of our partners, the town of Belhaven in North Carolina, that I know a lot of the loopers are probably familiar with because I've heard it's a great place to stop.
We love Belhaven. We've been there probably three or four times.
Well, Dr. Leverett, the town manager, which some people have had the chance to meet, he's a dynamic speaker, and he spoke at our conference last year. They actually held a birthday ceremony this past year. It was the third Saturday in September. And they declared their area the birthplace of the Intercoastal Waterway because it was the completion area for North Carolina. So they contacted us and said, you know, do you all have any problem with us saying this is the birthplace? I said, what? we're like, as good a birthplace as anywhere else.
Notice nobody's celebrating the Little Mud River as part of it.
That's right, yes. Yeah. We're very supportive of an organization of that home ownership, and it really gets back to the fact that we need to form these regional partnerships so that awareness of the value of this waterway gets elevated from the individual user to the local community to the local government, which leads to the state governments and then the federal government. And with these great grassroots efforts are just amazing to us. And he asked us, Dr. Leverett attended our conference this past year, just a few weeks ago, and asked us if we'd be willing to participate in another birthday ceremony. They're going to have an annual birthday party, he thinks. So we told him we'd be more than happy to come up.
Well, we might just go up to Belhaven for that. That sounds like fun.
I think it would be, and I'll make sure and get the loopers and you the date so that you can
follow.
Yes, please.
We'll put it on our calendar and let all the loopers know.
Well, it sounds like it was a great time last year. I was unable to attend, but our chairman went on behalf of the organization, and Steve Furlow is our chairman, and he spoke on behalf of the association and said it was a really nice event. They probably had 300, 400, 500 people. It was a pretty good-sized event, especially for the cruising community.
Belhaven's such a tiny little town.
Everybody came out, is my understanding. So we're always happy to support those local efforts. And I'm hoping, now that I've been involved in this position since last March of 2012, I'm hoping that we can continue to expand those efforts, not necessarily birthday parties everywhere, as you can imagine, but really try to reach out and touch the local marinas and the local users a little bit more. We've done a good job, I think, in trying to lay a solid base on our information that we have to share and making awareness on the state and federal levels and legislature, and now we're going to try to reach out to the local governments and see what kind of inroads we can make.
Fantastic. Now, I was surprised with the Gulf Intracoastal how much, I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, but pleasure boats are important, but they're just a tiny, tiny, tiny microscopic segment of the traffic. Is that correct?
Well, for us, most of the traffic is going to be recreational users. For the intercoastal. Yes, ma'am. We have a couple of areas where we have high commercial use.
Okay.
Well, and those are really going to be focused. There's a couple sections in North Carolina. PCS Aurora, Potash Corporation there in Aurora, North Carolina, is one. And then also we have Nucor Steel. Those two areas around Wilmington and along the waterway, they definitely have high commercial use. They're shipping a lot of products. But outside of that, we've got very specialized things. For example, we have a national security issue in that we transport all of the jet fuel that goes to the air station in Beaufort, South Carolina, where I live. That's all transported by barge on the waterway. And then we have specialized equipment, say, for example, very large generators, or for you, where you live there in Charleston, some of the fuselage pieces for the new Boeings are transported by water because they're too big to transport by train or truck. And so there's some specialized commercial equipment, and also the two primary commercial areas where we have a lot of volume.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, we're more recreational, and it becomes a hindrance when we're trying to get federal dollars, because federal dollars has been weighted more toward
commercial.
Weighted more toward weight.
Yeah. Stupid question, but I'm just curious. Is the Port of Charleston considered part of the Intracoastal or under your auspices, or is that outside of the organization?
It is not, but I will tell you this. It's actually under the funding process. There's really three or four ways that they look at funding. That would fall in the high use category, high commercial use. We're more of a low use. And
uh-huh.
If you're looking at the inlets, it's more of a shallow draft, where the harbors are a high use, large draft areas. But the one good thing that we have started to do, and we started it last year and we've continued to build this year, is we as an association are engaging the port authorities. We've started focusing on Georgia and South Carolina because those are the areas where we need more assistance in getting federal dollars for maintenance. And last year, we started working closely with the Georgia Ports Authority because they see the value of the waterway connecting, not only because it connects into Savannah, but it also connects into Brunswick. So that's a partnership there. And then this year, we had a speaker at our conference and have been working with the South Carolina Ports Authority. Even though their primary mission is Charleston and their secondary mission is Georgetown, as well it should be, we're trying to garner some at least goodwill support for the waterway that connects Georgetown and Charleston. And they've been supportive. They came out to our conference and gave an update on what's going on in the Charleston Harbor. So it's those types of regional partnerships that we're really trying to build and we're
important.
Excited about. We're really excited about them.
I think if you don't mind, Brad, we're going to stop for a quick commercial. We would like to highlight our sponsor, Homeport Marina.
Homeport Marina is the Alabama Gulf Coast premier facility, located in beautiful Gulf Shores, Alabama. Amenities include concrete floating docks, 30, 50, and 100-amp electrical services, Valtech gasoline and diesel, phone, cable, wireless internet is available, pump-out facilities, and 24-hour restrooms, showers, and laundry. Homeport Marina is a proud commander sponsor of the AGLCA. For more information, visit www.homeportmarina.net.
Brad, how involved is the Army Corps of Engineers? I mean, that's basically their project to keep it dredged. Is that correct?
It is, and they're our number one partner. We work very closely with the Corps of Engineers on the individual district level because we do work with the Norfolk District, Wilmington District, Charleston District, Savannah District, and Jacksonville District. That's all the different ones up and down the waterway. But we also work with the South Atlantic Division that they report to, and then with our partners at the headquarters. We've met with them. We've met with the different district commanders over the years, and a lot of the line staff that make the decisions and try to really help get more funding in. So they're good partners. They participate well in our conference, and we're very appreciative of their efforts. It's just they've got certain requirements by law that they're supposed to look at when they're allocating their funding. And right now a lot of that is looking at the commercial use. But we're one of the things that made us excited at the conference is they've started a smaller working group of just their employees, not just individual districts, but the individual districts across the nation and divisions, to start saying, okay, That's what we're doing for the high commercial use. When we get to these low commercial use projects, what other metrics should we look at? As I mentioned earlier, does a waterway contribute to national security? And ours does in the example with Buford Air Station. Is it a harbor refuge area, which we have a lot of those in North Carolina and different where the Coast Guards have to use them as harbors of refuge? Or does it support a commercial fishing fleet, which, looking at North Carolina again, a lot of their inlets and a lot of the communities right behind those inlets definitely use it as commercial fishing fleets. So those are just three quick examples of ways that we are hearing that the Corps is going to is trying to further quantify, even if it's not an economic quantification, but quantify the value of that waterway. And they've offered to continue to keep us in the loop, might as well use that phrase, but keep us involved in those decisions and asking us for information if we can help them better justify the need for the waterway. So it's exciting times.
Great. Funding's always a problem. It's worse or better this year. I think you said it's basically
it's about the same. It is. In South Carolina, it's hard for us to get much of any funding. There is definitely, and there isn't any this year, but Georgia got a little bit of funding. They're working on trying to come up with a dredge material management plan that would allow, it would be a plan that would stand for 20 years that would more or less identify all the different areas that if they were to get money to dredge, they would be able to deposit the material. So it would help the permitting process. And they got some money for that. Florida got money to actually do dredging, and they're doing some dredging and also partnering with the state agency that works on the waterway, which is the Florida Inland Navigation District, funds a lot of their projects. And so they're doing some work. And then, as I mentioned at the beginning, North Carolina is doing their shallow draft inlets. So there are definitely some work underway. It's
some good
nowhere near what we need.
On.
There are.
Great.
But it's nowhere near what we'd like to see, but that's part of it. We understand it's tight times in D.C., and it's tight times for all of us in our personal budgets. So we're just trying to make a better case, and we've got a lot of people working on that.
Sure. You've mentioned a couple of things about the annual conference. Is there anything special you'd like to tell us about it?
There is one initiative that I think has a lot of promise that we started working on last year and we're really expanding this year, and I would love to reach out to your great loopers to give some feedback, is we are working with a group called the Governors South Atlantic Alliance. And what that is briefly is the four governors in the Southeast making from Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, they came together and formed an alliance where they would look at issues that are shared among state boundaries. And they came up with project areas, and one of the project areas is working waterfronts because they see that there's a need to protect working waterfronts all along the South Atlantic coast. And from that, they invited us, the AIWA, to participate, and also a couple of our board members that hold other roles in other organizations, to participate in this working waterfronts group. And long story short, one of their goals this year that we are heading up, that AIWA is heading up, is to try to document and highlight the areas along the Intercoastal Waterway from Norfolk down to Miami that are chronic shoaling areas that have to be maintained by the Corps of Engineers, and we're working on that effort. And it sounds funny that you would think that work's already been done somewhere, and as a matter of fact, a lot of that information is available, if not all of it. But one of the things that this will do is now we're using the state governors to raise the awareness of the waterway. Instead of the Corps saying it's important, instead of our little association saying it's important, we're going to use this four-state alliance to put together this report. And we've started looking at all the areas, and that was one of the presentations at our conference, was to highlight the areas that the Corps of Engineers currently maintain. And we also worked with some of our other partners. The Salty Southeast Cruisers Net worked with us and gave us some of their information. And so we're starting that, and as that information becomes better available, we'll definitely engage you all in the loopers to say, okay, are there other areas that you think need to be looked at? And then we're going to try to, I don't want to say rank them, but in a way we are going to rank them, because the way that the Corps looks at their budget is they have to look at it district by district. But the number one project in the Wilmington District may be the number five or six most important project on the entire waterway as a whole. And so we're looking at it as a regional project. And this will give us the opportunity to then go back to those, use it on the federal level, but also to go back to those state legislatures and say, hey, of this almost 1,100 miles, you have the number one worst area. Is there anything your state can do to help offer resources in the form of funding to maintain some of these areas, because we think it'll benefit your state, and all this work would have been done with our state partners at the beginning. And so we really think, for a lot of people, it doesn't seem like a big step, but we think it's a new way to take another bite out of the apple and try to get federal, state, federal, local funding, whatever resources it takes to maintain the waterway.
Fantastic. I guess you don't have the dates for next year yet, do you?
We are going to. It'll be in November again, and it'll be in Savannah, Georgia.
It'll be in Savannah next year.
That's the two things we know for sure, unless something happens. But right now, we're looking at. We like the November time frame. It seems to work out with other national conferences. In Savannah, we want to. We're trying to make our way on down the coast. We did do Charleston twice, but we're gonna do Savannah. It works out well. It's still fairly centrally located, and then it also has our Corps of Engineer district home right there. And with the Savannah Port, as I mentioned previously, we've got a good relationship with the Georgia Ports Authority, and we're working with them and hope to have their involvement. So we're excited about going to Savannah next year.
Fantastic. Well, I hope we can see you there. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we close?
No, ma'am, that's it. I would like to always pass along our website for more information.
Yes, please.
It's www.atlanticintracoastal.org, www.atlanticintracoastal.org. And I have to make the pitch here. We are a nonprofit organization. We do have individual boater memberships, and we would love for those listening and those that are member of yours to consider supporting us. All of our money goes toward one focused area, and that's trying to get wider, deeper intercoastal waterway for everybody to use. So that's my sales pitch. I appreciate
the opportunity. That's fine. And to all our loopers out there listening, we wouldn't have a loop without the Atlantic Intracoastal. So if you're so inclined, please support the organization. It does a fantastic job. If you need information on the website again, just, you know, send me an email and I'll get you the information. Brett, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
And have happy holidays, and we'll definitely talk to you next year. Thank you.
Sounds great.
Bye.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you.